If you've got your Bible, do you have it open for that gospel reading we've just had from Mark chapter 10? Can you think of a time when you've come new to something? Maybe to a new group of people or to a new place. It may be to a new subject, a course of study, a new role, whatever it may be. And there's something really exciting about that newness. And I was just saying a little bit about that for myself and coming into a new role after 25 years, familiar territory of parish ministry into the role I'm in now. It can be exciting, but also it can be a bit bewildering. It feels like there's something you're not quite grasping. You can see all the bits, but just can't quite get through into either the big picture or the bits are there, but they're not quite falling into place. Well, if that's you, or if you can remember being at a time like that, well, what it may be is that you're at a threshold moment. A threshold moment. Think about that word, thresholds. You came across a threshold this morning to come into church. Had a look at your threshold. There's a very distinct move between the two halves, outside and inside. If you look at the flooring there, very often in older building, there'd be a large stone there at the threshold. Thresholds are about crossing over points. They're also about entry from one place in the building to another, from outside into inside. And educationalists have used that idea of the threshold to describe what it feels like when you come to something new. You sense there's more, but you can't quite get your head around what's going on. We're one side waiting to cross over into another. And what we have in our passage today with James and John is a threshold moment. They've been with Jesus for a period now, and they sense there's something very wonderful about this person, about the agenda that he brings, and they want to be a part of that. But they're on a threshold. They come saying they want to be more part of what he's doing in this language of we want to sit on your right and your left in glory. We don't know whether that's a glory in the sense of they sense when Jesus comes again or whether it's just there's a new political order here and we want to be part of that. We want to be part of your glory. They get hold of the only thing they have, which is to say, we want more of you. We want to be more a part of what's going on. But actually, they are not understanding. They're not grasping the fullness of what Jesus is about. But Jesus senses that they're at a threshold moment, that they can move on into more and deeper things. So he challenges them in this way. He says, you don't know what you're asking. They're at a threshold moment. They sense more, but you don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they answer. To really understand the nature of this threshold moment that they're in, it's good just to let your eye drift back through your Bible to see what has happened before that. If you go back to chapter 10, verse 13, Jesus has bought people have brought children to Jesus to bless, and he takes a child and he puts the child in the midst of them, of the disciples, and he says, to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. Now, to us, we're used as a society to welcoming children, to giving them an important place within our midst. But actually, in the days of Jesus, they were nothing. They were just like chattels. So to actually take a nobody and to put them in the centre and to say, they are a somebody, they actually, to such belongs the kingdom, would have been really mind-blowing. It would have been very confusing. Then a young man, rich young man, the heading says, it doesn't say in Mark that he's young, but we do know that he's rich. And he comes, he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus challenges him about the thing which seems to be a sign of blessing, his wealth. In covenant terms of the Old Testament, if you had much, then you were blessed. It was a sign of God's approval because of your goodness and your obedience. And yet here is Jesus saying, this thing which you think is a sign of blessing, in fact, there's something else going on here. That man was at a threshold moment as well. And Jesus, in response to the request of James and John, presents them with a threshold moment, because he says, you think that greatness is about being in a place of authority, of having others serve you. But listen to this, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. He's turning their understanding upside down of what greatness is. But also in doing so, he's showing how they're kind of running up against this threshold moment. The reading that we had from Isaiah picks up on this theme, if you will. A little bit earlier, Jesus has talked about a baptism. Can you be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? Or can you drink the cup? Back in the Old Testament, the cup of suffering was one that was to be drunk to the very depths. The idea of baptism that's mentioned here is not the baptism that perhaps we associate with little children and fonts and stuff like that. It actually comes from, can you remember sitting in the bath as a child with a model boat? And of course you just let it float around the whole time. No, you didn't, if you're like me. What did you do? You pushed it until it filled with water, and then down it went to the bottom of the bath. That's the image that is used in that word baptizo, the original Greek. It's not the baptism with water that it becomes later on, but originally it was about what happens to boats when they are overwhelmed. And tragically, what we're seeing is not a bath time image, but if you look at your news, you're seeing rubber boats in the Mediterranean being baptizoed, overwhelmed by the waves, so that they go down. What Jesus is pointing here is the way in which he will be overwhelmed by suffering. Can you be overwhelmed by suffering? Baptizoed. Can you drink this cup as well? He asks. And they come to this encounter as good Jews, knowing their Old Testament, but perhaps not understanding it in the way that Jesus is asking them to understand it at this threshold moment. Because back in the time of Isaiah, back in the servant songs of Isaiah, what we come to is a unique bit of theology, a new possibility. That instead of suffering being a sign of curse, it actually somehow can be worked into God's purposes. So this is new. To us it's familiar, but at the time of Isaiah, as we've already heard, I mentioned that if you suffered, it was a sign of curse from God because you'd somehow been disobedient. But now something new is coming. And Jesus is saying, can you grasp that? Because he himself will be baptizoed by this suffering. He himself will drink of this suffering cup. But in doing so, it will be transformative. In doing so, God will do something. And here it is. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is the threshold moment for these two disciples. To begin to recognize that the ways of Jesus are different ways. And they're kind of bumping up against this, but they can't get it. Because it's beginning to turn their understanding of how God operates upside down. But that's what the invitation here is from the Jesus, who says, come follow me. Come follow me into a deeper understanding, a deeper experience, and a deeper response. And that discipleship will involve those threshold moments where we run up against something which we sense there's more, but actually our own understanding is holding us back. We need to be drawn deeper into this. And for them, well, would they actually grasp this until the other side of the cross? I don't know. But they want to push on in. And it may have been only when they stood on the other side of the cross, when they actually encountered the risen Jesus afresh, that they might have thought back to that, and they would have thought, actually, we were at a threshold moment where we were longing for more. And Jesus challenged us to enter into this different way of understanding, this different way of experiencing, and this different way of responding. This same Jesus who invites those original disciples to come follow me says the same to you and me. That's why we're here this morning. And there are fundamental moments in that following of him that get us on the way. So when he says, come follow me, repent and be baptized, that repenting is about a turning around and a movement in a new direction, a crossing of a threshold from darkness to light, from outside the kingdom into the kingdom. But I believe that our discipleship involves us in a range, a whole series of threshold moments. Paul writes that we are to be changed from glory into glory. Those are thresholds as well. That we are growing into the full measure of the stature of Christ. And that involves, I think, moments that will be threshold moments, where we run up against new possibilities that can leave us attracted but also confused, wanting to move on deeper into more of God. But we need to recognize that involves a moment of transition. I don't think we should hurry through those threshold moments, because they have within them invitation to pause and to then go deeper. So perhaps when we find ourselves at those times when we are longing for more of God as individuals or as a church, but we find within ourselves a confusion or a resistance, stay with that. Don't brush past it. Stay with it. Because through those threshold moments, God works into our understanding, our experience of him, and our response to him, those deeper moments of crossing over and moving on with him. So I don't know, perhaps where are you as a church community or as individuals, perhaps at a threshold moment in your life? You may be sensing that call to more of Jesus, perhaps in your understanding of him, perhaps in your experience of him, perhaps in the response that he asks of you. Well, if that is you, I'd like to pray a prayer for you. It's an ancient prayer which comes from a man called Richard of Chichester. And it's this prayer. Let's be still for a moment, shall we? Perhaps in the quietness, hold before the Lord those thoughts of longing for more, those feelings of confusion, but that desire to move on with him. And so for those of us at threshold moments, thanks be to thee, my Lord Jesus Christ, for all the benefits thou hast given me, for all the pains and insults thou hast borne for me. O most merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, may I know thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, and follow thee more nearly day by day. Amen.